Unjust criticism is a disguised compliment. Well, perhaps disgusted too. Unjust criticism is a disguised compliment. It means I have aroused jealousy and envy. No one ever kicks a dead dog. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley with your thought for today from Campo, California. Got Unlimited University of Healing. So, unjust criticism is a disguised compliment. It means I have aroused jealousy and envy. No one ever kicks a dead dog. Now, kind of a negative attitude or comment here, but so be it. Unjust criticism. Now, all of us have had unjust criticism. I would say we consider every criticism we get as unjust, as unrighteous, as unnecessary, as improper, as cruel and mean and hateful and stuff like that. Yes, yes, yes. But when we get it, we know that someone is thinking about us. Someone is thinking something about us that they feel could be improved. And I don't know how to say this, but the fastest way to get a compliment out of anybody, the fastest way to get a compliment out of anybody under any circumstance is to agree with them. When you agree with them, you have made them your teacher, and they have to stand up for what they said. They have to stand up for what they said. They said that color on you is just not very good. You know, that's not the thing. The color clothing you should wear, it just does not compliment you at all. And you say, how dare you speak about my taste in clothing? Don't you realize that I am a culinary, I am
a culinary.
I am a master of choosing clothing. But no, a master of choosing clothing wouldn't worry about anyone calling them a master of choosing clothing, because they know they are that. Mm-hmm. And you see, there's no problem. But a master of choosing clothing, hearing someone make a remark like that, would say, hey, what do you know I don't know? That's interesting. Tell me, what do you think I should be wearing? And why do you think I should be wearing it? Well, they'll either say, really, you look just fine, you know, which is what they mean. They're merely trying to get your attention. Or they'll say, you know, to be with the in-group these days, and you haven't been around the young people, and you haven't been around the in-group, they mix green and red, and they mix, the Mexicans been doing that for a long time, they mix strange colors together that we are not used to using, and they are very acceptable. They're very acceptable. But you have to get used to the idea that they are acceptable. And once you're used to the idea that they are acceptable, then they're acceptable. So when a person points something out to you like that, instead of being angry at them, say, thank you very much. What do you recommend? And they become your teacher, and they're no longer your critic. They're now your supporter to help you have those things that they feel are beneficial. Or they get off your back because they know they can't touch you. If they had meant to be angry at you or to be mean to you or anything, you've taken away any reason for it, and not unkindly, but with sincerity, and said, hey, what do you think I should do? What do you think I should do? You see, criticism opens the door between unfriends. And you think you are friends, you know, but you really aren't. And you really have been sort of picky at each other. And the moment you say to the person who's criticizing you, hey, what do you think I should do? The moment you say to the person who's criticizing you, I'd never thought of it that way. Thank you so much for, you know, giving me a new way of looking at this here. That's very good. And be sincere about it. And when you are, the person instantly becomes your friend. They instantly become the person who is backing you up. See, no one ever kicks a dead dog. If there's not something worthwhile in us, nobody's going to make a comment about it. You don't talk about a bunch of fancy duty people over here at some fancy duty party, you know, and they're all wearing their fancy duty clothes, you know. You don't say, my gosh, you know, what are they all gussied up like that for? Why are they all fixed up so fancy? Well, you know why? Because they're at a fancy party. And why do they have a fancy party? Well, they don't have to have a reason to have a fancy party. They have a fancy party just because they want to have a fancy party. And you judge them. You know why you're judging them. You're judging them because you weren't invited. And you didn't get a chance to do it up yourself. But, hey, delight in other people's joys and other people's feelings of, hey, this is a very neat operation. This is very, very wonderful. And when you do that, then the unjust criticism is the disguised compliment that comes out. If you don't take it, the criticism goes in as part of the anger syndrome, and before you know it, your blood pressure is up and your whatever is up, you know, your dander is up and your anger is up and everything else, and nothing works right, and you're just an unhappy cat. So, or rather, no one ever kicks a dead dog. You're an unhappy dog. But don't do that. Don't do that. I can say don't do that because I don't mean don't do that. I mean, do whatever you want to do. And you know what you're doing. And you know that you're building up a case of anger by taking the criticism unkindly. And you know that if you're a loving person, a truly loving person, a person that's always loving, you will make a loving thing out of it. You will right away see something good in it. You'll see the Pollyanna in it. And as you see something good in it, then it becomes something good for you. Even if the person might have meant it unkindly, it becomes something good for you because you're the master of your world and what goes on in your life. Nobody else. We're receiving these little notices from the Philippines all the time. And it's charming how they quote Ernest Holmes. And Ernest Holmes says these same things. He says these same things, and he says them in a very charming way, a very marvelous teacher. And as people listen to what he says, they think to themselves, yes, that's true. Yes, that's true. Yes, that's true. I am the only one that makes a difference in my world. I am the only one that can make a difference in my world. I'm the only one that speaks the truth about myself. I am the only one that likes me. Now that doesn't mean nobody likes me. I'm the only one like. It means I'm the only one that likes me. I'm the only one that knows how to like me. I know I like chocolate cake. Everybody doesn't know I like chocolate cake, but everybody should know that because all men like chocolate cake. You know, mostly. But the point is, if a person really wanted to be nice to me, they would find out what I like. And then they would present it to me, or they would say, come, have a piece of chocolate cake with me, you know. And you like chocolate ice cream and chocolate cake? Oh, you bet, you know. And so it was wonderful. And then what happened? Then we had a good party. Now, they may not have liked chocolate ice cream, and they may not have liked chocolate cake, but they were doing it for me because they wanted to say that they enjoyed my company. Now, I say differently at another time. I say, whatever you do, do for yourself. If you go out and buy a gift for someone, buy a gift that you'd like to have. But I'd like to have a new pair of undershorts, and this is a woman. Well, buy her a new pair of undershorts. You could buy her women's undershorts too, you know. You don't have to be men's, you know. And maybe even men's undershorts might be interesting. We saw a lady the other day. She was wearing men's undershorts because she thought that they were very charming. And, hey, what the heck? It's whatever turns you on. But, again, buy what pleases you. Buy, who knows? Whatever you buy that pleases you might startle the other person. But having it for a little while, they say, well, let's try that on. You know, let's try that man's shirt on. Let's try that man's shirt on. That's three sizes too big for me, but we'll try that on. I like that. I really like that. And I look good in it, too. I look so petite in this giant shirt. I'm sort of missing it. People say, my, you've lost weight. No, I just have bought bigger clothes. So I look like I lost weight. But you see, unjust criticism is a disguised compliment. And when we take whatever is given to us and we find the beauty, the goodness, and the joy in it, that's wonderful. And if somebody gives you a pair of man's shoes and they just don't fit you at all, well, give them to somebody else. You can pass it along. Nobody says that it has to stop with you. You can just keep the wonderful gift going. And the person you give it to, you may give it to some woman and think she's going to give it to her husband. And you give it to her, and then what does she do? She wears them herself. And you would have never thought she would have worn them, you know? You'd have thought she'd give them to her husband because it was his size. But, hey, just do whatever you feel is right. Give whatever you would like to have for yourself, whatever would make you feel that you're a really worthwhile person. Because this is what life's all about. This is what the experience is all about don't worry about it. Don't worry about criticism at any time. Don't worry about criticism from whomever it may come. Because just remember, and this is the hardest thing to accept, you created the person doing that. Not because you were bad and created the person doing that because you should be good, but you created the person doing that so that you could be a master and say, hey, you're right. How can I improve that? You know that you were doing something really not too good, and you know that you're being very obnoxious about it, and you know that, and all of a sudden this person says something of a criticism to you like, hey, you know, you keep that up, and your negative body energies are going to be flowing in such a way that you're going to have a lot of pain inside. And you say, well, get off my back. Get out of my world. Don't you tell me these things. Don't you? And stop. Stop. If a person says something like that, they're not being caustic or mean, but perhaps they're saying something that might have some real meaning to you. Now think about it. What would that mean to you? What would that mean to you if you stopped being hyper, and you started just being loving and gentle and kind? What would that mean to you? That'd mean your whole world would be viewed from a new perspective. Everybody around you would be viewed from a new perspective, and the person making the comments would be viewed from a new perspective. Now, you go to your psychiatrist, your medical doctor, or whomever, and they make a comment like that to you, and you say, yeah, I know. You go to your mother, and she makes a comment like that, get off my back! You go to your husband or wife or family or friends, and they make a comment like that, it's unjust criticism, you know. And but your doctor, he can say it, because that's his business to say it. You're paying him to say it, but you still don't like him. I think I'll go get another opinion. And so you go out and you get some other opinions. And on the day you go out to get another opinion, you have changed your attitude about yourself. You just feel great. You feel wonderful. You don't have that negative vibe flowing through you like you had before. And the new doctor says, oh, my goodness, you haven't seen a person so filled with charm and wit and joy and so forth like you in a long time. Thank you, doctor. That's just what I needed to hear. Well, the other doctors put it in motion. You went for the other opinion. Naturally, you get the new opinion because the new you went to the new doctor. If the old you went to the new doctor, I'm sure he'd find exactly the same thing. But we must be very careful, because unjust criticism is disguised as a compliment. It's a disguised compliment. It's not disguised as a compliment. It's a disguised compliment. And we want to live our life in the most beautiful, joyous, harmonious way we can. Many times you hear me give these little discussions, talks, and you say to yourself, why don't you talk on more deeply spiritual principles? Why don't you talk about things that are touching the absolute and touching the infinite and the isness and the allness and things like that. And I say to you, stop. Why don't you think on the isness, the allness, and absolute? I am a reflection of whatever is going on in your minds. And in your minds, what I can have a title here, and I will speak about just the opposite of that title, if that's what's in your minds. And I'll speak about the title, if that's what's in your minds. And these titles are just written down here by the dozen, so that I have some topic joggers, you know. And it's kind of fun. But the thing is, stop and think. Stop and think. If I were to speak about the absolute and the infinite and all these beautiful things by name, you'd be bored to tears. You say, oh, no, not I. Yes, you'd be bored to tears. You are. How many of you take the book that we have, the relative absolute and so forth, and read it, devour it? Or how many of you take other people's books that are in the same ilk and study them? You don't. How many of you are touched by the little boy falling down and scratching himself, and the mother reaching over and saying, sweetheart, you do the silliest things. Come here. Let me kiss that and make it well. Okay, now go back and play. And you say, oh, isn't that wonderful? You know, and I say, okay, now, in absolute, we have no emotions. We have no sensation. If you are touched by the mother kissing the child with the injury, you're not in absolute. You're in relative. In absolute, there would be no child falling down, hurting himself. There would be no experiences that would tell you that this is harmonious or not harmonious. In absolute, there is no discussion about relative beingness, because all is. And if incidents and activities are occurring, which one might conclude as relative, the person living in absolute does not see it as relative. They see it as just an is on the path. And not just an is to belittle it, but as an is on the path that is nothing more. When the great king went to see the guru up in the mountainside, and the guru kept him waiting for a week, you know, and the king says, I got a country to run. I can't keep sitting around like this. And so then he presented the guru with his problem. And the guru said, sir, after again making him wait a little while, this too shall pass. And you see, that is absolute talk. That is absolute talk. No emotions, no feeling. And you say, well, what a dull world that would be. That's true. It's a dull world for a relative person in the absolute, or in absolute. And so, take this where you are now. Be in the relative world and be the most joyous, fantastic, fulfilled, delightful person that ever could walk upon the face of the earth, so to speak. Be that. And be the most wonderful master of the relative. I mean, my God, that's the simplest thing in the world, to be master of the relative. That what gets in the way is our emotions and our self-righteousness and our feeling that we're superior to other people. I mean, we've been there, done that. They haven't, you know. they've been there, done that in things that we've never even thought of being there and doing that, you know, and likewise for us. But again, what is it we want to do? If you want to play the game of living absolute, well, then I see you. Here we are, untouched, one-pointed, unpossessed, non-judgmental. When you are in that realm of thought, that's what you are. But if you are ever touched, who isn't, yeah? If you are ever less than one-pointed, if you ever judge anybody, even yourself, and if you, what is the other, one-possessed, yeah? Possessed, my goodness sakes. We are all so possessed by our personality, by our attitudes, by our place in life, by our titles. Ellen was saying to me, Herb, I don't need all these titles. Why do I have all these titles? I said, Ellen, As long as you have the titles, you need them. The day that you don't need the titles, you won't have them. You won't have them. You see, the day that the queen doesn't need to be called the queen, she won't have the titles. And she's pretty close to that, because she knows she's the queen. And if people don't call her queen, that's perfectly okay. They respect her, they respond to her, they genuflect to her. And this is done because she knows who she is. Now, are you a woman? Then let the man open the door. I mean, that's a simple, stupid little thing, but let him open it. But no, you got to run and open it for the guy, you know? And me, I think I'm a man. And I attempt to open the door for people. I attempt to do things for people. Oh, no, let me do this for you, Herb. You know, you're our teacher. You're our this. Hey, you want to be receptive of this thing which I'm teaching. And I'm teaching that you are worthwhile. When you have the opportunity to do anything, do it. When you have the opportunity to receive anything, receive it. That is equally as demanding a role, to receive it. And many times I do things around here and instantly you want to jump over and hurdle fence to accomplish something, which really isn't that important. It's a matter of, I accept. Just say, I accept. Bring out the apples and give each person an apple. And then I say, just a minute, give me those apples. And you think, my God, what's he going to do now? And so I take the apples and go in the kitchen and wash them all. And then I polish them a little bit. Then I bring them back and give them back. Well, I should have done that. We should have done that. No. If you had done that, then I couldn't have done it. Now, if you should have done it, you would have done it. But you didn't should have done it because you didn't do it. And I did it, so therefore I should have done it. Now, what does that make sense? You betcha. You betcha. Are you able to be aware of that? Are you able to be in tune with that? It's not that I'm superior or not superior. It's not that I cannot wash an apple off, or it's not that you cannot wash an apple off. It's a matter of who's thinking about presenting the most beautiful table, who's thinking about presenting the most beautiful meals, who's thinking about presenting the most harmonious relationships wherever we may be. You, because you're number one. And the more you think about yourself as being number one, the more you're going to accept criticism by others as just what it is, a disguised compliment. And you will say, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Well, you all have a lovely, lovely day. And do lovely, lovely things. And know that I love you, I love you, I love you.